The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
It all starts with physical fitness and appearance. If the Secretary of War can do regular hard PT, so can every member of our joint force. Frankly, it's tiring to look out at combat formations, or really any formation, and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon and leading commands around the country and the world. It's a bad look.
There you go. You know, Monday, we were told that that was one of the great days in the history of civilization. And I got to be honest, my team and I came into the show prep today a little depressed because we thought if that's peak level greatness, Monday, it's kind of boring today. And then we went through Pete Hegseth's speech to the War Department yesterday. There are some great days ahead of us. Today is one of them. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can email the program if you'd like, td@thetrumpet.com. We'd love to get your feedback. We'd love to get your feedback on Hegseth's speech yesterday. No more fat people in the military. Seems like a no-brainer. But look at the, and I'll get to America Under Attack in a second to make a more serious point. We'll have a little fun here at the start. But this is, I mean, God had to intervene to save America from being blotted out entirely. You look at what Obama, the dear leader, you look at what General Milley, remember him? He was as woke as you could be and also a little out of shape. But we'll leave that aside. But here's Hegseth, who's leading by example. It really, again, it's a wonderful thing to give a sound, you know, practical, common sense speech and to actually lead by example. You rarely see it today. You've got him, you've got RFK, they're promoting the 10-minute challenge, you know, pull-ups, push-ups. And then all these people in the military that are there doing it. And he just comes out yesterday and he says, okay, look, the standards are going to be across the board. There's no exceptions. And in fact, I mean, if you're a parent and you're sending your child off to the military at 18, I mean, you expect them to be fighting alongside fit military personnel for their own safety even. As I say, it makes perfect sense. This is the military we're talking about. Mr. Hilliker brings this out in the morning brief. I mean, think about what our enemy nations were thinking through those Obama and Biden years, where we were promoting diversity and wokeness and LGBTQ and all these things. Hegseth and President Trump spoke before 800 admirals and generals, and they're working on reversing the decades of decline that we've seen in the U.S. military. These are the 10 new directives that Hegseth announced. You can read about this in the morning brief. All troops must be held to sex-neutral physical standards. If that means no women qualify for some combat jobs, so be it. I think that's a quote from Hegseth. The same standard. We're not going to lower the standards for women. Then you look into the Bible and you see that they're a weaker vessel physically. It's common sense. It's biblical sense, isn't it? Of course it is. All personnel, flag officers included, must take biannual fitness tests. He called fat generals and admirals unacceptable. You just heard that they're in the cold open. No more identity months, DEI offices, dudes in dresses, no more climate change worship, no more division, distraction, or gender delusions. He just came out and put it simply, look, the War Department is here to win wars. And how do you win wars? You win wars by overpowering and conquering the enemy. You need strength. You need firepower. It says here, definitions of hazing, bullying, and harassment will be tightened so leaders can enforce discipline without being accused of toxic leadership. I mean, what was going on for years? It's just insanity. Die by suicide, as Lincoln would say. To hear some retired military leaders and read mainstream news reports of yesterday's meeting, you would think the demand that soldiers shave their beards as proof of America descending into totalitarianism. Of course you would expect the Joe Scarboroughs of the world to just absolutely go ballistic. I'm more inclined to see the scale of shock as proof, Mr. Hilliker says, of how far America's military had fallen. The people calling Hegseth an embarrassment to the military seem just fine with a transgender naval secretary and generals wearing dog masks. What has happened to America? Here's Donald Trump and his Secretary of War trying to roll these insane policies back. And as you would expect, there's the regime media fighting every step of the way. Here's a bit more from Hegseth yesterday, clip 5.
Every parent deserves to know that their son or their daughter that joins our ranks is entering exactly the kind of unit that the Secretary of War would want his son to join. Think of it as the golden rule test. Jesus said, "Do unto others that's what you would have done unto yourself." It's the ultimate simplifying test of truth. The new War Department golden rule is this: do unto your unit as you would have done unto your own child's unit. Would you want him serving with fat or unfit or undertrained troops? Or alongside people who can't meet basic standards? Or in a unit where standards were lowered so certain types of troops could make it in? In a unit where leaders were promoted for reasons other than merit, performance, and warfighting? The answer is not just no, it's no. This means at the War Department, first and foremost, we must restore a ruthless, dispassionate, and common sense application of standards. I don't want my son serving alongside troops who are out of shape or in combat unit with females who can't meet the same combat arms physical standards as men or troops who are not fully proficient on their assigned weapons platform or task. Or under a leader who was the first, but not the best. Standards must be uniform, gender neutral, and high. If not, they're not standards. They're just suggestions. Suggestions that get our sons and daughters killed.
Good for the Trump administration. You know, as I was listening to that, I was thinking, what would the reaction be in MAGA or across the country if we came in and said, you know, the same approach applies to the moral standards as well, to living by the commandments of God. The standards have lowered for so long, and we need to reverse it, and we need to turn it around. We need to turn to God and humility and repentance. We need to make some changes. I mean, here's some practical, common sense, physical standards. It makes sense. It makes perfect sense. But who is there among us to come in and say, now let's apply the same logic to God's spiritual standards, to how we're treating one another, to how we approach our relationship to God, to how we build up and promote the family, to how we raise our children. I mean, that's far more important. physical laws are there too, and it's important to strive for perfection. But are we striving for perfection morally, spiritually? We're so far removed from the basics. It's just common sense. It's like Mr. Armstrong used to say, I mean, Christianity is the most practical thing there is. The hard part comes in applying it, putting it into practice, being diligent with it, consistent, day in, day out, striving for perfection. We just, in class the other day, we went through this sermon from a Laodicean minister back in 1990, who basically said, well, it was impossible for Christ to sin, and really it's impossible for us to obey the law. So he was like a pre-programmed robot, Jesus Christ, and you know, as for you, you're flawed, and you're a sinner, and you really can't aim for perfection. And the man didn't quote any scriptures. He just spoke as a scholar, the scholar that he fancied himself as. And so many of God's people just went along. Jesus said to the impressive young man in Matthew 19, well, he said to his disciples after the young man departed, because Christ told him, this is what's necessary to make it into God's kingdom. And the disciples were just kind of dumbfounded. Well, how's anyone going to make it then? And Christ said, with men, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. It is possible to obey God's laws. If Christ is in you, that's the great mystery of Colossians 1. It is possible to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do look to his example. He is relatable. Even though he was perfect, even though he never committed one sin, he was flesh. Flesh and blood. God in the flesh, yes. But he showed us how to overcome and to conquer sin. And shame on preachers that would come along and say, you can't really rise to that standard of conduct, so just don't even bother trying. Well, what if the military took that approach with respect to its physical standards? You can't really be strong and ready for battle, so don't even bother trying. Listen to Greg Gutfeld as he, again, coming back to Hegseth's speech yesterday, clip 7.
And I think they understood that there was a pernicious, determined ideology that saw virtue in our weakness and viewed strength as oppressive. That was the wokeism. And people think that being against woke is just minor. No, it was a big deal. I always felt that what was destroying our country was within. They understand that. If you look at the last, I don't know, 5 years or whatever, you know, appointing a cross-dressing luggage thief to oversee nuclear waste and a delusional Admiral Mann as Assistant Secretary of Human Health and Services, is that right? Mm-hmm. Who fashions himself a female. These revealed priorities that were beneficial to our enemies. They love seeing that stuff. When we open investigation into the politics of our troops to weed out perceived white supremacy, our enemies must have liked that too, because we're taking our eye off the ball. When we mandated a curriculum that dictated that our country's values are indefensible, that they might be racist or oppressive, I mean, that is amazing for people who hate us. Our enemies must have loved that. So I guess when I see this, is you're seeing solid leadership standing up to this suicidal snowball that's coming down, that was to an impending implosive defeat. And our global competitors who do not have this suicidal empathy, they don't even have to lift a weapon. We destroy ourselves. I mean, identity politics is the key and was the key to our own destruction. So I feel like this is progress in a big way. It's not about China or Russia or Iran, it's about us.
I hear that too, and think about all the things that my father's written about, just the drift into a false sense of security. Okay, now that we're fixing the military, the problems are going to go away. We're going to be strong again. I mean, President Trump, for his part yesterday, he's telling all those admirals and generals, you never heard Biden, you never heard Obama talk about how great our military is, how powerful we are. Well, I'm here to change that. Well, what does the Bible say about the pride in our power? Yes, God did intervene to save America. It was pretty bad. The affliction, it was bitter, bitter, bitter affliction. And this book right here, I mean, this book told you all about it before it got to the absolute low point. America under attack. And in this book, my father says, in 1956, Herbert Armstrong encapsulated the emerging threat of communism in America as a psychological warfare of propaganda, infiltration, subversion, demoralization. It's a warfare that has attacked our minds and our moral and spiritual values rather than our bodies and our earthly possessions. Well, it even attacked our bodies, as we now know. Those in the military that were getting soft in more ways than one. Mr. Armstrong said that this warfare is actually described in biblical prophecies. It's a kind of warfare we don't understand or know how to cope with. It uses every diabolical means to weaken us from within, sapping our strength, perverting our morals, sabotaging our educational system, wrecking our social structure, destroying our spiritual and religious life, weakening our industrial and economic power, demoralizing our armed forces. And finally, after such infiltration, overthrowing our government by force and violence. I mean, we came that close. We were that close. We were hanging by a thread. And God intervened to save America temporarily. God did it. Not some political movement, not a politician or a leader in the flesh, but God himself. And he did it because he had mercy upon us, and he wants us to turn to him in repentance and faith and to rise to his spiritual standards that everyone must rise to, men and women, children. These are the rules. These are the standards. I mean, Moses said in Deuteronomy that if you keep the commandments of God, that's what makes you strong. It's great to see strong physical strength, but what about strong spiritual strength? What about strong moral strength? God is crying out to our people. It says here, our military is powerful, but it is wielded by weak, woke leaders. Even among everyday Americans, our pride and our power is broken. The communist infiltration Mr. Armstrong warned about has happened. Yes, indeed, and it very nearly destroyed us. And now we have a temporary resurgence. But don't let it convince you that we're safe and secure. Don't drift into a false sense of security because of it. Because again, are we addressing the sins of our people, of our nation? You've been seeing on this program over and again just how violent, how evil, how filthy the world is. I mean, it's a world filled with violence. I'll come back to that a little bit later. But along comes President Trump. He's put Pete Hegseth in there. You can see why the regime media hate him. And they've made some serious and substantial changes in just a matter of months. Here's President Trump yesterday at the War Department, clip 3.
What a difference a presidential election can make. That's all it is. It's just a presidential election. And I've committed to spending over $1 trillion on our military in 2026, and that's the most in the history of our country. $1 trillion. That's not only are we rebuilding our great strength, but for the first time in years, my administration is actually using that strength to defend the core and vital interests of America. And very simply, we are putting America first. And I have, since I've been elected, I've always put America first. But together with many of you in the room, we've brought back the fundamental principle that defending the homeland is the military's first and most important priority. That's what it is. Only in recent decades did politicians somehow come to believe that our job is to police the far reaches of Kenya and Somalia while America is under invasion from within. We're under invasion from within. No different than a foreign enemy, but more difficult in many ways because they don't wear uniforms. At least when they're wearing a uniform, you can take them out. These people don't have uniforms. But we are under invasion from within. We're stopping it very quickly. After spending trillions of dollars defending the borders of foreign countries, with your help, we're defending the borders of our country from now on.
America first. And again, there's quite a few positive signs and developments. And then you've got to put it together with, you know, placing great faith in terrorist organizations, as I covered on yesterday's show. But they're definitely putting a lot of money into the military. $1 trillion in military spending planned for 2026. I mean, and that, you know, you bring up spending, by the way, and there's been no change. Doge, what, lasted for a month, 2 months? Spending levels at the Biden era level? Is anyone in the swamp capable of trimming the fat, of reducing the deficit? I mean, we're pushing toward $38 trillion. The quote I just gave to you from America Under Attack, in that quote, my father's like, the deficit, or the federal debt's at $30 trillion. Now it's $38 trillion. I mean, where does it stop? Here you've got all the news, and I can't even tell you how boring the subject of government shutdown is. But that's the big story, I guess, today. As of midnight last night, the government shut down. Well, it's probably for the best. If President Trump can get in there and fire a couple hundred thousand people because of it, it'll at least trim a little bit of the fat. But it's amazing to me that Republicans, and they have the upper hand here, they're calling it the Schumer shutdown, and Democrats agreed to this very same continuing resolution just a few months ago during the Biden years. But it's amazing to me that the Republicans are out there basically saying, hey, it's a clean CR, don't you know? It's clean. I mean, it's pure. And the spending level, it's right at the same that it was in the Biden years. So what are you complaining about, Democrats? Just vote for it. And let's keep spending for the next 7 weeks, and then maybe we'll come up with big, beautiful bill number two. They can't help themselves. They just spend and spend and spend. So, okay, $1 trillion to the military. Great. Where does the $1 trillion come from? When you're spending $2 trillion more per year, it's probably more than that now, than you're actually taking in. I mean, when is the party over? How much longer can you get away with just spending paper that you print yourself? Listen, I mean, amid all of the discussion or the coverage of the so-called government shutdown, and nothing really shuts down. I mean, I guess some things do, but the life goes on in D.C. Really, when you look at these clips here, I mean, this is far more serious than a government shutdown that's probably just going to last, what, 30, 40 days? Let's dig deeper. Let's look at the bigger picture. Here's clip one.
I've only warned once on the show about a crash in the banking system. That was in February 2023. And it's a historical fact that, like, 3 weeks later, the Silicon Valley Bank blew up. And I'm seeing the same things today. The banking system is so leveraged to MBS defaults, delinquencies are picking up, subprime delinquencies are picking up, buy now, pay later names are acting poorly, auto loan companies are going bankrupt. I think that, the financials are really at risk here, the most since 2008.
If everything is so awesome-tastic in this nation, why is this administration running a $2 trillion budget deficit?
So now we're talking about two different things.
No, I'm saying that's a risk.
That is.
That is a risk that needs to be factored in, that you have a $2 trillion budget deficit, despite we're basically borrowing money and running a massive budget deficit when times are good.
I'm not disagreeing with
Stop
the deficit spending
money.
But they won't. They've shown that they can't. So that's why gold and Bitcoin have been rallying, because that's the hedge against runaway politicians.
It's warning you that the dollar is collapsing. And that's actually what triggered ultimately led to the financial crisis in 2007.
We could go long-term capital management crisis. You could go the financial crisis. Yes, there's always a black swan event. I do agree with you that runaway spending is the big risk, existential risk to this. But politicians have shown time and time again, left, right, center, they don't know how to do anything but keep spending money they don't have.
We're also dealing with this pending government shutdown. Right. And you've got a president who's dealing with Democrats who want to spend. And they want to put all kinds of spending. They won't approve it. They will hold the country hostage. They will shut the government down if they don't get what they want. So this is the kind of world that we live in. And I still think about the big, beautiful bill. I know what the president was trying to do. He wanted to pass growth creating policies, that would help the American people. A lot of that was tax incentivized. But he also had to rubber stamp a bunch of spending and not cuts that were deep enough for me. And so we've got to think about where we are as a nation, how much longer we can keep going at this pace. And $37 trillion is our national debt. It's not just a number on a paper. And we need politicians and officials who are going to look at it that way, figure out true ways to compromise. But otherwise, we're headed for not only, a problem situation in the markets, which eventually, Lou.
But right now, my job is to make money while the markets are good, right?
But we've got to get our personal fiscal house in order. And the problem is that the Democrats will just keep spending into complete oblivion, because I think they want to see the whole thing blow up.
I think maybe she gives a little bit too much credit to Republicans. But, I mean, she did acknowledge that it's a problem on both sides, and that the big, beautiful bill did not cut spending. The clean CR does not cut spending. And then the Democrats, they throw a fit because they want $1 trillion more put in to give health care to illegals, of all things. So I think politically, I think the Republicans are in a pretty good position. But just looking at it, big picture, going back to Pete Hegseth, I mean, one reason why the speech yesterday is so refreshing, it's like music to our ears, is because it's straightforward, it's common sense, it's based on certain standards that apply to everyone equally. And why not take that same practical, common sense approach to looking at $38 trillion in debt. $2 trillion deficit every year. Let's see, what should we do? What's the first thing that we should do to address this problem? We're out of shape economically. Okay, we've grown fat economically. So what standard can we meet or aim for to try to get back in shape? Well, you know what it is. What would you do if it was just you living on your own or for your family finances? What's the first thing you do if you're 30, forget about trillions, if you're $38,000 in debt and you've got creditors just banging on your door, what do you do first? Well, you probably cut spending way back, and then you start selling things off and trying to pay your creditors so that you get out of debt, of course. Standards, they apply across the board, you see. That's what's so beautiful about the Wonderful World Tomorrow booklet, because it describes all of the massive changes that Jesus Christ's government will implement, not just in military fitness. Well, I mean, the swords are going to be turned into plowshares. So we don't even need the military in the world tomorrow. But what about economy? What about physical health and fitness? Disease, confronting disease. What about education? What about true religion? Well, there's laws right across the board, isn't there? Of course there is. You have to come back to God's truth, God's laws, God's teachings, God's standards. And if you're not measuring up to those standards, well, what happens? You become unhealthy in more ways than one. When we come back, we'll update you on the victories that President Trump has enjoyed at the Supreme Court. And we'll also follow up on the earth being filled with violence, as we've talked about this week. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
Just to refer you back to America Under Attack, where we go through Amos 7, and we've talked about the King's Chapel recently, the Kingdom's Court, you know, the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court. And then you look at this story from Real Clear Politics. Trump is the most successful president in the courts in generations. I mean, this is probably something you haven't heard. I mean, there have been radical leftist, you know, activist judges that have tried to slow down the Trump agenda, and they get a lot of headlines when they do. They're praised. They're encouraged by the regime media. Then you start looking at some of the actual rulings and you think, oh, well, this is exactly the way God said it would be. How about that? The sure word of Bible prophecy. It says here, as the U.S. Supreme Court gears up to begin its next term, it's important to remember that President Trump is on a winning streak, the likes of which we haven't seen in generations. This is straight out of Amos 7. I mean, the affliction was so bitter. He had been blotted out, President Trump. He had no voice in 2021. And by the way, look at all these people, CBS having to pay him, what, $15 million, and then YouTube for blotting him out. I think YouTube had to pay him $24 million. I mean, it's just one victory after another in court. And it's just kind of quietly reported. But I mean, when they blotted him out, I mean, all the talking heads, they couldn't help themselves. They were celebrating on live television. He doesn't need to be on Twitter. He's a danger. He shouldn't be on Facebook. He shouldn't be on YouTube. And then he wins $24 million. Oh, yep, by the way, we shouldn't have silenced him. That's not really the American way. And it's just quietly reported. It says, while the legacy media idolize rogue judges who throw up roadblocks to President Trump's agenda at every turn and amplify perceived losses, what they don't want you to realize is that when the dust settles, Trump wins most of the time on the ultimate decision. And remember, we're only 9 months in. He says here, as the 2025-26 term begins, it's important to remember that the previous year was one of the most successful for legal conservatives in many decades. One of the most successful in decades. For Donald Trump, for conservative causes. And of course, as you know, he had a hand in shaping this court, appointing three of those judges during his first term. And if you remember, even toward the end, Bader Ginsburg dying there right at the last. And then, yeah, you just look back and you think, okay, God had a hand in these events. God, and it's easy to just look at the assassination attempt and see the hand of God. That's obvious. But look at the other ways that God has just kind of helped him navigate his way through never-ending attacks his first term, the impeachments, and then when he's out of office because they stole the election, all the lawfare and the raid on Mar-a-Lago and the assassination attempts. It's unbelievable what we've witnessed. And this book right here, I mean, it told you all that you needed to know. I mean, we're right here today as it was described in this book years ago. That's incredible. That's the sure word of Bible prophecy. That's God's hand. Those are God's fingerprints. So why would God do this? Is it because God looks at our world, our nation, and says, you know what? I see a lot of righteousness there. And I think they should be blessed. I mean, look at how they're living so righteously. Look at how they're measuring up to my standards of morality and the commandments of God. Is that why God intervened to save us from being blotted out? Or is it for another reason? Is it because of our sins? Is it because he's trying to help us see that, look, I delivered you because of how merciful, how loving I am, how patient I am. But just so you know, I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you. You are so far removed from the Bible. And whenever you get far from the Bible, nothing good comes from that. It's like I said about this Laodicean minister. I mean, there he is just spouting off as a scholar would and not citing one chapter or verse in the Bible. And then people, God's people, sitting there hearing the scholarship and saying, well, that must be true then. No, you, like Mr. Armstrong always said, don't believe me. Blow the dust off your Bible and see what God says. Most people won't do that, though. For whatever reason, laziness, rebellion, distraction, or as I covered yesterday, putting your trust, your faith in man, taking what some man says about the Bible. No, look into the Bible. See what it says. Look into Amos 7. Look at 2 Kings 14. Look at the sure word of Bible prophecy, as the Apostle Peter wrote about. And then when you see these prophecies being fulfilled, I mean, that's one of the great proofs that God exists, that God's purpose and plan, it's unfolding as he said it would, that the 6,000 years of Satan's rule over this earth, it's about over. And he knows his time is short, says that in Revelation 12. If Satan knows, my father brings this out in the last hour, but if Satan knows how short his time is, then we better know. And if we know, I mean, it's going to bring some urgency to the way we try to measure up to God's standard. Because the standards have lowered and we're out of shape spiritually. And we need to get back in shape. We need to get fit, spiritually speaking. And there's one standard that applies to all of us, and that would be God's law. That would be His commandments. Such a beautiful way of life. You can see why Paul said in Romans 7 and verse 12. Well, I'll read it to you. It's not in my notes, so I got to turn there. I've got to go old school for the next few seconds. Romans 7, notice this. And verse 12. Wherefore the law, God's law, is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. I mean, what's not to like about God's law? This is New Testament theology. This is the Apostle Paul reinforcing, upholding the spiritual standards in God's church, God's family. But see, the world is in the condition it's in today because it's disobeying that law, because it's rejecting God's commandments. The scholars, they think they have a better way. They think they can reason around the law of God. They can, okay, 1 Peter 2 says that Christ set us an example so that we can follow in His steps. But I'm here to tell you, as a scholar, that Jesus didn't come, actually, to set us an example. No. And we don't really need to follow in His steps. No. Just believe the Word of God. Receive it with gladness. I mean, an unborn John the Baptist was jumping up and down inside the womb when he was in the presence of Mary and the unborn Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a pretty cool scene, I think. You look in the Gospels and you see how there weren't that many true disciples. There weren't that many followers of John the Baptist, just a handful. And Jesus, as you know, He just had 12, and among them there was a traitor. And then when the church started, it was 120 disciples after 3.5 years of work. But the ones that were there, they received the truth, the laws of God, the revelation from God with joy and with gladness. They loved it. They saw the law of God as something that was holy and just and good. And something that we want to uphold, the perfect standards of God Himself. That's all the law is. It just spells out the way God lives, the way God is, the way God thinks. So if we need to get in shape spiritually, we've got to look to those perfect standards. Says here, the court handed down historic conservative victories in the culture war, including allowing states to remove Planned Parenthood from Medicaid providers, upholding states' prerogatives to ban gender-related surgeries on minors, and protecting parental rights against LGBTQ propaganda in the classroom. Trump's remaking of the judiciary during his first administration continued to rack up wins even during the Biden administration. Again, this is all according to Bible prophecy. Imagine for a second that Donald Trump had not been elected in 2016. None of these decisions would have been decided according to the Constitution, and Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden would have been able to potentially add 4 or 5 radical judges to the court versus the 3 leftist activists now on the wrong side of virtually every major ruling. God intervened. God intervened. And as you can see from just looking back at recent history, I mean, He lays the groundwork years in advance. And then you look at how Donald Trump returned to power and how that he came back in January with he came back even in a stronger position than he would have had in 2021. God's trying to get our attention. And we need to look at this world, see it for what it is, be realistic, objective, and know that he didn't bring him back because of our righteousness. He brought him back because there's a lot of other prophecies that are about to be fulfilled. And God wants us to wake up and turn to him in repentance and get back to those righteous spiritual standards. This is from the Daily Mail, a shocking story, really, just as a follow-on to this epidemic of violence that we're seeing. I mean, it's happening here in the United States. President Trump tweeted out the other day that, you know, the epidemic of violence has to stop. It must end. It's from Sweden. The Daily Mail reports how ruthless mobsters are recruiting young blondes to kill the main rivals in napalm bomb attacks in gang-ravaged Swedish cities. I mean, Sweden, last time I heard, it was supposed to be one of the happiest, most peaceful places on earth. And they're recruiting young, blonde teenagers to be assassins, to be murderers. Olivia was one of 280 girls aged between 15 to 17 who were charged with murder, manslaughter, or other violent offenses last year. It's unclear how many were linked to organized crime, but Swedish investigators claim the numbers may be much higher as many are not prosecuted. I mean, we're just learning about the ones they catch. This is, as I say, Sweden. Crazy. It's a crazy, violent, evil, sick world that we're living in. And of course, we're seeing assassins on the march here in the United States. Listen to Donald Trump. This is yesterday again. He's trying to uphold law enforcement, and he's sending troops to the streets of D.C. He's sending troops to Portland, and he's commenting here again before the War Department just about the violence in so many of America's bigger cities, clip four.
And then I told Pete, we should use some of these dangerous cities as training grounds for our military, National Guard, but military, because we're going into Chicago very soon. That's a big city with an incompetent governor, stupid. Last week, they had 11 people murdered, 44 people shot. The week before that, they had 5 people murdered, 28 people shot. Every weekend, they lose 5, 6. If they lose 5, they're considering it a great week. They shouldn't lose any. You shouldn't lose any. This is civilization. Really, how about Portland? Portland, Oregon, where it looks like a war zone. And I get a call from the liberal governor. Sir, please don't come in. We don't need you. I said, well, unless they're playing false tapes, this looked like World War II. Your place is burning down. I mean, you must be kidding. Sir, we have it under control. I said, you don't have it under control, Governor, but I'll check it, and I'll call you back. I called her back. I said, this place is a nightmare. Probably, it's certainly not the biggest, but it's one of the worst. It's brutal.
Now, again, just put this together. You got to see the whole picture, right? But put this together with what he said the other day. And again, they're sincere about their pursuit of peace. But he called Monday one of the great days ever in civilization. And then there he's describing civilization and how violent it is and how it looks like it's World War II. So how do you, I mean, are these two pictures compatible? I mean, can you put them together? I guess a lot of people do. God's assessment is that the earth is filled with violence. Filled with violence. And the ambassadors for peace, as I covered yesterday, they're going to be weeping bitterly. We're seeing a chain of violence. Isaiah 59 says we don't know the way to peace. Paul picked up on that in Romans 3. They're, in fact, just to read a couple of those verses, look at God's assessment. Again, this is New Testament theology, New Testament teaching. Romans chapter 3, and here's the Apostle Paul saying that there is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. That's Romans 3, verse 11. And then it says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Wow, I mean, that's, as Charlie Kirk once said, that's a big statement. He said it regarding John 8, 44. I mean, that's another big statement over there. You are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer, a liar from the beginning. There's no truth in him. And here Paul says, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. With men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We need Christ living in us. We need the Spirit of God living in us, so that God can bring forth his workmanship, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2. We are his workmanship. And the idea is that we've got to be soft and malleable. We've got to be pliable so that God can perform his work in us. He can't do it if we're filled with pride and vanity. And so you see why the world is going the direction it's in. It says their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. That's Romans 3. That's pretty amazing. I mean, that's very descriptive. And that's the truth. That is the truth. This was from the meeting Monday between President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu. Monday being one of the great days ever in civilization. This is clip 8.
And the task of building peace will not be easy. There are some of the hardest problems in the world to solve, and that's why it's been going on for so many centuries. But too many lives are at stake not to try, and this is more than a try. I mean, I think this is something that gets done when you have virtually every country, and these are powerful, powerful countries that have a lot of money, and the money can make things happen. A lot of countries try and they don't have any money. These are very rich countries that can make things happen. So together we'll forge a much safer and more hopeful future for everybody, including Israel.
People have been trying for centuries, he says. And, you know, we've got to keep trying. And you can't fault him for that. Trying to make peace. But again, your Bible says the way to peace. We don't know it. We won't go that way. There's a passage in Ezekiel 36. Well, I think I have time to read a couple verses here. It's referring to a time that's not that far ahead of us. Verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. Again, think about what Paul described in Romans 3. Cleaning us of all of our filthiness and from our idols or idolatry will I cleanse you. Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Finally, you see, mankind will be teachable, will be humble, childlike. Once the government of God is instilled in Jerusalem, once the family of God is in a position of rule, then finally you'll see a new spirit in man. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. See, everyone all around the world will be expected to live according to the perfect spiritual standards of God. And that's going to bring peace and prosperity, happiness, joy, gladness to all of mankind. That's all we have time for on today's show, sadly. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.